Jesus Christ redeemed you. Jesus Christ paid his blood for you. So we're going to be in Psalms 119. 119 this morning. We're going to read a lot of verses this morning. That's okay. Because that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Do you love God's word? Do you love it? Do you cherish it? Do you hold it dear to your heart? Do you hold it above anything? Because you have one of the most precious things at your fingertips this morning. If you own a Bible, you have the very words of God. A word that is inspired by God. A word that is life-changing. A life-changing word, and you have it at your fingertips. So do you love God's word? I don't use that word loosely. Because if you love God's word, the way we show it is we read it. If you love it, you must be reading it. Because if you do not read it, then you truly do not love it. You truly do not cherish it. Because the words that are written in here changes your life. We should hold every scripture dear to us. Every scripture, because all scripture is inspired by God. God breathed this into life. See, I think the Bible, the Word of God, is one of the greatest things God's given us. He's given us salvation, He's given us the Holy Spirit, and He's given us His Word, His manual for life. We have it at our fingertips, but I also think it is one of the most neglected things that we have. One of the most neglected things. Something that can change a life, but yet some of us have hardly ever picked it up and read it. Some of us have 16 of them in our home, but yet have never turned the pages of them. Have never let it impact our life. Did you know that God's word is merely not to be read, but to be applied? A person could have all the knowledge, could recite the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but if he never or she never applied it to their life, it means nothing. This might be a harder message this morning. That's okay. Might be a harder message for all of us in here. Because that is one of the things God's Word does. It convicts us. It corrects us. It rebukes us. It trains us up in righteousness. See, the love of God's word is the pathway to obedience, peace, and hope. Let me say that again. Obedience, peace, and hope. Hopefully you know that God's word has hope in it, has peace in it. And hopefully you can obey it. So we're going to start in Psalms 119. Psalms 119, just to give you a little history. We do not know the author of 119. People can speculate who it is, but I believe if God wanted us to know who it was, he would have put it down. So, but some people believe it was David, but some people also believe it was Ezra while the temple was being rebuilt. But regardless, if you want to know about God's word, read Psalms 119. We're not going to read it all. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses in it. It is long, but it's all about God's word. God's word is mentioned into it so many times. So we're gonna camp at 161. We're going to start in 161. Isn't that weird to say? Verse 161. But I just want to set the stage of Psalms 119. While you guys turn there, I'm going to read some verses from Psalms 119. Verses 1 and 2 say, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart." Verse 9 through 11, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to his word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 28 says, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Verse 73 says, your hands made me, formed me, give me understanding to learn your commands. Verse 89 says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Verse 97 says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. In verse 133, direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. And that will bring us to one. I'm going to start here in 160 real quick. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise like no one who finds great spoil. I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I follow your commands. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you. May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law gives me delight. Let me live that I may praise you, for and may your laws sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we have an opportunity to come and worship you, to come and learn about you. And I pray here, right here in your word, you give us understanding. You give us understanding through your spirit that we might love your word even more this morning. Love it in a way that sustains us, to motivate us, to change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. See, the love of God's word produces joy in your life. Listen to me when I say this. 162 says, I rejoice in your promise I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. If you can imagine a person who wins the lottery, a person who wins millions and millions of dollars, are they a person who kind of just, oh yeah, I won. I won billions of dollars. No. They rejoice greatly. They're overjoyed. They jump for joy. They shout. Do you know we should shout just by reading God's word? We should praise God for his word. We should rejoice for the word of God. Because it is powerful. It is sustaining. And it is life-changing, like I've said. And we should detest falsehoods. There are too many people falsely proclaiming what the word of God says. That it is something to be torn down. Something to take and try to get prosperous life to try to make and mold and mold it into whatever we have to mold it in so that we feel good. Can I tell you that the word of God is so powerful that it doesn't make us feel good? It is so powerful that it molds us. You hear me this morning? That is how powerful the word of God is. That it is able to mold you into what? Not just something, but into a child of God. A living child of God. Adopted into the family. That is what the word of God says. The word you have in front of you is the truest thing in our lives. So many things can cause us to stumble. So many things can cause us to question. But I can tell you this, that the Word of God will never do those things. If you trust in the Word of God, it will never make you stumble. It will never be untrue. It will always be the truest thing in your life. See, the Word of God brings two of the greatest things into our life, and that is peace and hope. I hope that you know that your salvation comes from Jesus Christ, but how do we know that? From the Word of God. Can I tell you that if you have a problem in your life, you can find the solution in the Word of God? That if there's something you're struggling with, God wants to answer you, and that's through His Word. His Word is so, so powerful. I cannot stress that enough this morning. Two of the greatest things, peace. Do you know that people are striving right now for peace? Do you know people right now are striving for hope? They're longing for it. They're doing whatever they can to get it. They're doing detestable things. Things that lead them down the path of destruction. Things that lead other people down the path of destruction. To find the very thing that is before you this morning. Peace and hope. A powerful peace. A peace that only God can give. And a hope that only God can give. And I hope you want this hope. And I hope you want your neighbor to have this hope. And you can only do that through the Word of God. See, when we begin to love, to cherish, to read the Word of God, it leads us to the path of obedience. Do you know God wants you to be obedient this morning? Obedient in a way that you mirror Jesus Christ Himself. Mirror Him in a way that others can see His reflection through you. See, when you live according to His Word, when you live according to His law, His decrees, all the things that are mentioned in Psalms 119, you begin to be a life changer. Or I'll say it like this, a light. God has called you to be a light. A light that comes from the Word of God, an ambassador for Christ. See, we begin to obey, and when we act in obedience, those things increase our peace and our hope. When we act in according to obedience, there are too many people neglecting the Word of God this morning. There's too many Christians living with the idea that they never have to read this. They never have to apply it. That they'll be good, that their life will be prosperous, that God will grant them a land of prosperity. See, here it says, 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. 7 times a day. I'm not telling you here this morning that you have to read God's Word 7 times a day, but I'll tell you this, if you did read God's Word 7 times a day, could you imagine where your life would be? Could you imagine for a moment if you just picked up the Word of God and read it for 5 minutes? 5 minutes a day. That is more than most Christians. That is more than most Christians. So that brings me to my next question. Why are people not reading the Word of God? If we know it does all these great and powerful things, there has to be some reason why people neglect it. Why it's the thing that collects dust on their shelves. Because I don't believe they understand 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, which says this. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. Not just one verse here, not just one verse there, but the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is useful for you, for me, to equip us to do good works, to be fruitful, to bear good fruit. Brings me to my next verse. Hebrews chapter 4, some of you might know it. Verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Can I tell you that you do not have the authority without the Word of God, without Jesus Christ, to judge the attitudes of the heart, the thoughts of the heart. This is why this is one of the truest things we have. Because it has the ability, because it is alive and active. This is the problem. And maybe some of you have struggled with this very same thing, that we think it's just an ancient book, that it no longer applies to us. It only applied to Israel back in the BC. It just doesn't apply to us anymore. Yeah, we can take good pieces out of it, apply it to our everyday life, but it really has no relevance. But here, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, it is alive and active. God is not dead. He is not dead throughout Scripture, but alive and active. And He's not just alive and active, but the verse says, He's sharper than any two-edged sword. He can penetrate through bone and marrow. See, can I tell you, the Word of God can penetrate someone's heart? Can penetrate them so deep that they turn completely around. I'm a living testimony to that. And I know there's many of you here, a living testimony to a lifestyle that was totally against God. Totally against the Word of God. But yet He took you, molded you, equipped you for every good work. So that you might be able to glorify Him. To glorify God with everything you have. See, James 1, we're going to read a lot of scriptures. Amen. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22, says, "Do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Like I said before, a person can read this from Genesis to Revelation, but it means nothing if all they did was listen to the word and they never did what it says. If they never did what it says. It gives us a picture here. It's a kind of a funny picture of a man who's looking in the mirror. Let's say he got up for work. He's looking in this mirror at himself. He's getting ready. And then he gets all ready. And then he walks away and he completely forgets what he looks like. How silly is that? Can I tell you that when we read the Word of God, and we see something in it, and we know we're supposed to do it, but yet we don't do it. It's the same funny picture as described here in James. It's like we just looked at it and then forgot what it says. We looked at the Word of God and just forgot what it says. But it says, they will be blessed in what they do. Can I tell you, you're blessed when you read the Word of God? Hopefully that is an easy thing to understand this morning. That you are blessed. Even when your heart is convicted, you are blessed because of it. Because back in what I read in 2 Timothy, that He rebukes, but He also corrects. So when you're convicted, He also corrects. He also puts you on the path of righteousness. He puts you on that straight and narrow path when you allow Him to. That's the part of obedience. And when you allow Him to put you on the path, when you allow Him to guide and lead your life, can I tell you peace and hope follow behind? Can I tell you that you become more peaceful? See, the problem is that people don't understand the Word of God is inspired. not by just man, but inspired by God. That is inspired, that it is alive, and it is applicable to your life. I want you to think for a moment. Is God, through His Word, telling me something? Can I tell you that it's okay to ask God when you read your Word? It's okay to pray, to meditate on God's Word, to ask Him for understanding. In fact, the Word of God itself says, ask for understanding, and He'll give you understanding. See, when we are not reading the Word of God and applying it, we cannot grow the way God wants us to. If you're asking yourself this morning, I just don't feel like God's speaking to me. I just don't hear God. I'll ask you this question. Are you reading His Word? Are you reading the Word of God? Too many people are asking this question this morning. I just don't feel God. I just don't hear God. We have His words from Genesis to Revelation. If you want to hear from God, you have the ability to pick His Word up. You have the ability to hear His Word. You have the ability to apply His Word. See, you are blessed beyond measure when you read the Word and apply it to your life. Luke 28 says, this is what Jesus says. Blessed rather are those who hear the Word and obey it. Blessed are those who hear the Word. See, do we hear a common theme this morning? It's one of the simplest messages, I think, to read God's Word and apply it to your life. But yet, we still are stuck in this place. I want to show you guys something for just a minute. We sang about it this morning. Do you know what's in here? Do we know what's in here this morning? Your redemption story is in here. Your salvation is in here. Your neighbor's potential salvation is in here this morning. Your peace and hope are written in here. The truth is written in here. Your abundant life is written in the Word of God this morning. See, the problems in your life, the answers are written in here. One of the most neglected things, but yet one of the most life-changing things I hold in my hand. Why? Because it is one of the most alive and active things in our life. It is one of the things that's to be equipped beyond measure. It's the one of the things that says that God will not leave you or forsake you. It's one of the things that says that you can do anything in your life as long as you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. When you begin to focus on the things that are not seen, but the things, or the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. The things that when we focus on the things that are temporary, they lead to a path of destruction. But when we focus on the things that are eternal in our life, those are the things we are to focus on. This Word of God here is life-changing. This Word of God should be your everything. You want to know, parents, listen to me for just a minute. I'm not a parent, but I know what the Word of God says. You want to know how to train your child up in the ways of the Lord? It's right here. It's through the Word of God. Maybe you're here today and you're young and you're trying to have a child. Can I tell you that God wants you to train him up in the ways of the Lord? Can I tell you that He wants you to train them up in the ways of truth? The ways of righteousness, the ways of purity. See, what I read in Psalms 119, it says, how can a young man get to purity? By living according to the Word. By living according to the Word. Too many of us put on this mask. We've heard of this mask. We've experienced this mask. We pretend like we read the Word on a regular basis. Can I tell you pretend reading is not reading? Can I tell you pretend reading doesn't actually give you anything? Why on earth am I doing this message this morning? Because I'm not seeing lives changed. I'm not seeing Christians today living according to the Word. I'm not seeing people living a life abundantly. And that's not a life of prosperity. That's not a life of abundance, but a life with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that? Can I show you a beautiful picture? Like I said on Wednesday, we saw two baptisms. We saw God change two lives. Maybe at work you know somebody whose lives needs to be changed. If you're not doing it through the Word of God, it doesn't profit anybody anything. It doesn't do anything. If you're not doing it through the name of Jesus Christ, it's not powerful enough to save. If you're doing it for any other reason rather than the name of the Lord, if you're doing it to glorify yourself, can I tell you that's completely contrary to the Word of God? If you're not doing everything to glorify God this morning, then you yourself have room to grow. You yourself have an opportunity this morning. An opportunity to live a life according to the Word. To live a life of holiness. Now, can I tell you that just by reading it and applying it, it still comes from God's power? God's power, God's might inspired this word that you could use the name of the Lord. So that His blood, who paid the sacrifice for you, the song that we sung, I am redeemed. Can I say just by saying you're redeemed doesn't actually mean you're redeemed? Can I say that you actually need a relationship with Jesus Christ to be redeemed? Can I tell you that you actually need Jesus Christ to break the chains of your life? You can't break the chains. You can't do it on your own. You don't deserve to be redeemed. I do not deserve to be redeemed. This is why it is so amazing that we have this at our fingertips. That we know something so beautiful. Listen to me. Your adoption papers are right here. If you are alone this morning, your adoption papers are right here. All you have to do is ask Jesus to sign them. All you have to do is ask Jesus to sign the adoption paper to your life, to be accepted into the family of God, to get an inheritance to the kingdom of heaven, to have your place at the table. Your adoption papers are right here. All it takes is for you to read it and ask Him to sign it. See, Jesus is no longer preached in churches anymore. The Word of God is no longer preached in churches anymore. In fact, they've completely done away with the Word of God. They've written their own Word. They've written their own decrees. They've written their own laws. They've written their own precepts. They've written their own statutes. And they profit them none. Instead, they've just led them astray. I want to be a church this morning that lives according to the Word of God. Lives according that it's a church on fire for Jesus. A church that penetrates Huntington. A church that penetrates Fort Wayne. A church that, with all the missions that we do, the meal ministry, the women's life house, the women and children's house, the future men's house, the orphanage, all the things that God leads us to do, if we have just signed God out of them, it didn't profit those people anything then. If we leave God out of the world, We have forsaken him. See, this is something God has laid on my heart. I hope this morning that God has laid it on your heart. That something as simple as maybe I do need to read God's word more. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not your work, not your neighbor's work, but God's work. God's perfect, pleasing will in your life. If you want to know it, if you want to use it, if you want to have it, it starts by reading and applying the Word of God. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is why we don't forsake the assembly. This is why we stir each other up. See, if you are a part of the leadership training that we had on Thursday, at least to me, it blew me away. If you were there, it was open for anybody. If you were there, you noticed something. God has been doing a lot for New Life. And sometimes I ask him this question. God, do you think we can handle any more? Do you really think, God, that we can handle a men's shelter? Do you really think, God, that we could handle an orphanage? And do you know what God told me? No. You can't handle it. You can't do a men's shelter on your own. You can't do an orphanage on your own. You can't do the Life House on your own. You can't do the meal ministry on your own. In fact, you've never done it on your own. You've done it with me every step of the way. And I'll tell you this, that if you do what God has called you to do every step of the way, according to His Word, that it is not profitable for you in the fact that it glorifies God Himself. Can I tell you that if all you did was glorify God in your life, you lived an abundant life. You lived an abundant life for Jesus Christ. If all you were to do was glorify God, and whether you was eat or drink, you did something beautiful. You've drawn near to God. And what does the second part of that verse say? That God has drawn near to you. You begin to feel peace. You begin to feel hope. Your faith is increased. You're able to do things maybe you never thought you were able to do. And I can tell you this, and with just talking with Pastor Jimmy, New Life has done more than they ever thought that they could do. Because God had showed them something, has showed us something, that you need God in every aspect of your life. And that is exactly what the Word of God says this morning. If I could summarize Genesis to Revelation, it would really be this. It is not about your independency, but your dependency on God. Did you hear that this morning? We got too many Christians living independently. I'm an adult now. I can do this or that. Nope, that's not what God's Word says. Rely on me, trust in me, lean on me, cast all your anxiety on me, about God. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ. It's nothing else. It's not about your independency, but your dependency on God. How much are you able to depend on God? How much are you able to trust in God? See, the Word of God says you are to be living sacrifices. Living sacrifices for God, meaning you're able to sacrifice your whole life to God. That's a hard thing to do. That is a hard thing to do, but it's one of the most profitable blessings that you can do in your life. I don't realize sometimes how much God does for me, just in my own life. I can look at the church and that's visible. That's one of the most visible things I have in my life, to see what He does with this church. But sometimes I forget some of the things He does in my own life. How many How many times has he provided for me? How many times has he sustained me? How many times has he led me away from destruction? How many times has he guided my path? How many times has he put people in my life to encourage me? Can I tell you that sometimes it's beneficial for you to take a step back and just look at the beauty of what God does? God still heals. God still heals people. God still changes people's lives. He still fixes people's problems. The problem is we're so fixated in our life that we've forgotten to take a step back and look at the bigger picture, to look at the eternal things. See, we've forgotten how mighty our God is. We've forgotten that He is a God that died on the cross for us, that shed His blood for us, that was buried for us, that was resurrected for us. See, we heard a term, and you hear it when you're baptized. Jimmy, what Jimmy says. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Can I tell you that's in God's Word this morning? That yeah, we die a physical death, but we're promised a resurrected body. We're promised a resurrection. We're promised a seat at the table. And I'm going to tell you this, because some of us have been promised things in our life. Some of us have had promises broken in our life. God doesn't break His promises. God never has turned His back on you. God has never led you down the wrong path. God has never done the wrong in your life, but yet has always kept His word. He's never went back on it. He's kept it in a way that's unimaginable. He kept it in a way that He says in Galatians that, hey, if you ask me, I'm going to even do more than you ask. I'm going to do immeasurably more. You know, that's the God we serve this morning. And that's the God I see at New Life. That He does even more than what we ask. See, I've said a lot of different things this morning. I've went in a lot of different areas, but I did it for a specific reason. And that's so you know that there's not just one thing in the Word of God. There's everything profitable for your life. There's everything life-changing in the Word of God. So as we stand,